Again, it's good to see everyone. We appreciate you being here this morning. We do have quite a few who are out of town, and they're traveling to different places, and so let's keep them all in our prayers as they are gone away from us and pray that they will come back to us safely. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Now, I want you to think about that. Think about the fact that God will bring everything that we do, every one of our works, whether they're good or whether they are bad. All of those things are known by God, and according to all of those things, we will be judged. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." That makes me thankful for God's grace, that because of all of these things that I have done that are wrong, that I can be forgiven of them. And God forgets them and doesn't remember them anymore. Because what we do, what He sees all. He knows all. He knows everything about us. He knows all of our works. Yet people today want to somehow put things into a gray area. This simply talks about whether you do good or whether you do bad. But some people want that gray area in between. Instead of people saying that it is good or white, or it is bad or black, some people say, well, we'll just put it right in the middle and compromise and call it gray. But God doesn't distinguish things in three different ways. He doesn't distinguish white, black, and gray. The scriptures are very clear as to what sin is and as to what good work is. In the world, there are good people and there are bad people. There are those who respectfully obey God and there are those who reject God. And Paul, in the book of Romans, makes that clear in Romans chapter 2, that basically we have two choices. We're either going to do good or we're going to do evil. And there are people in the world who have either decided to do good or who are doing evil. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." The same thought as we saw in the book of Ecclesiastes. "Will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jews first, but also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So there's the choices. Do good, do evil. And we're going to either be rewarded or be punished. And that's clear. It's one or the other. We have to recognize that. There is not an in between. People have the right to make choices. You and I both have the right to make our choices. But our choices are going to count. And the choices that we make throughout our lives is what makes us who we are today. The choices that you have made in your past is who you are today. And that doesn't mean you can't be forgiven of things you've done in your past, because certainly we can. But it has made you who you are. So what I want us to talk about this morning is to realize, first of all, that we reap what we sow. That's really the point of the lesson. We reap that which we sow. We need to realize that everything that we do counts. People are watching us. God is watching us. Everything that we do counts toward where we will spend an eternity. And we must strive to make good choices in our lives. What choice do we make? Are we going to choose to serve God, or are we going to choose to be disobedient to God? Let's recognize, first of all, that decisions determine our character. Decision-making determines our character. If we are dissatisfied with where we are in life, sometimes we like to blame our circumstances. Oftentimes, our circumstances are beyond our control. People may think that they could be better off if certain things would have happened differently in their lives. Maybe they blame others for the way something happened in their life. But they say, well, I'm in this situation because of this circumstance that occurred in my life. And sometimes it's on them. Someone might say, well, if only I would have worked harder to get that promotion, then I'd have a better life. I'd have more money, I'd have maybe more time, whatever, but I'd have a better life if I would have worked harder to get that promotion. Or somebody might say, well, if that person over there wouldn't have come over and harassed me, then I wouldn't be sitting here in this jail cell. They blame the circumstance. If that person wouldn't have, then I would be better off. But we have to realize that we all have free will, and when whatever comes up, we choose what we're going to do. We have voluntarily thought, spoken, and done the things that have made us who we are today, whether we are good or whether we are bad. It's not the circumstance that has created our character. It is what we have chosen to do with our circumstances. You can look at two individuals. Look at Saul and look at David. When we understand they were both kings, Saul and David and Solomon, kings of Israel. But Saul, when we look in 1 Samuel chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13, and begin with me in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 13, says, "And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' Saul said, 'When I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have you established your kingdom over Israel forever.'" Samuel had said that Saul was to wait 7 days for Samuel to come back before offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And the burnt offering and the peace offering, that's in verses 8 through 10. He says, "Wait 7 days for me, then bring the offerings and offer the burnt offerings and the peace offerings." The priest was going to offer those sacrifices. "Wait 7 days for me," he was told. Well, Saul then says that circumstances beyond his control occurred. Says, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me," in verse 11, "and that you did not come within the days appointed." So he didn't come in 7 days, and the people were scattered from me. So there were people, and he was worried, and he was upset, and he didn't know what was going on. And so he made a decision to do something that was against what he was supposed to do. He made the choice to disregard what the prophet had said, and he offered the burnt offering without Samuel, and in doing so, he disobeyed God. So that's ultimately what caused Saul to lose the kingdom, where he was the king. Well, now the kingdom is going to be given to another. But now, verse 14 says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Circumstances happened beyond his control. He made a decision to go against what he was supposed to do. He lost his kingdom because of it. Was he blame everybody else for him losing his kingdom? Well, he blamed himself because he made the wrong choice. But David was given the kingdom. And so Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." Chapter 15 and verse 28. It's clearly stated that David was better than Saul. Why was David better than Saul? Is it because he had better opportunity to be better than Saul? No, it's because David made better choices. David made the choice to do what God said. Saul made the choice to disobey God's prophet. He could have made the choice to obey him and kept his kingdom, but he didn't do that. Circumstances beyond his control happened, but he still had the choice to make the right decision. He needed to accept responsibility. And just like we need to accept responsibility for the choices that we've made that have caused us to be who we are today. Who we are is who we have chosen to be. We are self-made people. And that's what Galatians 6 and verse 7 means when it says we will reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. We are who we have made ourselves to be. And the decisions that we make in life will affect our lives no matter how big those decisions are or how small those decisions are. Even little choices are more significant than we might think. Because every decision and every act, everything that we do, change a person. Either changes for better or for worse. You do something, you're going to be different because of that decision. One is never exactly the same after making a choice. And choices have to be made by a person who has already defined themselves. Maybe we've defined ourselves, we're Christians, and we're faithful Christians, but then guess what? We've got more choices to make. Something else comes up, and that's life that's going to continue to happen. And so to some degree, every time we make a choice, it's going to affect who we are. Think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Remember that a decree had been made where the king said that you are not to bow down to anyone other than me for a certain period of time. Did Daniel listen to that? Did he abide by that decree? No, he did not. And the reason why Daniel disobeyed that is because he had made it a life choice, and he had done it for years and years and years. He had made a life choice that I'm going to bow down 3 times a day to God and pray to Him. So when the king said, "You're not supposed to do that anymore," Daniel was like, "Whatever. Doesn't matter what you tell me. I have done this. I've made the choice to do it. And so I am going to continue to do it." And so in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." He did that because it was his custom to do that. He had made the decision a long time ago that he was going to pray to God 3 times a day, and it didn't matter what some decree said, he wasn't going to change that. But he still had the choice. He could have changed his character. He could have changed who he was and stopped praying 3 times a day then. But he didn't do that, did he? He continued that process. Because as he made that choice every day, "I'm going to bow down to God and I'm going to pray to Him 3 times a day. He didn't quit just because some king said, "Don't do it anymore." In John chapter 8 and verse 44, everything that we do, we are building a character and we are determining who we are and who we're going to be. And by the decisions we make, we either grow closer to God or we grow farther away from God toward the enemy of God, which is Satan. John 8 and verse 44 says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. That's the two choices. Are you of your father Satan, or are you of your father God? Well, how do we determine that? What choices have you been making? How have you been living your life? What have you done? Have you become a Christian? Are you obedient to God? Have you become a Christian? Have you fallen away from God? Are you not a Christian at all? What choices have you made in life? That determines whether you are following God or whether you are following after Satan. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to realize that everything that we do counts. Every choice that we make, every little thing that we do counts. Sometimes it's hard for us to recognize that and realize that and come to an understanding of that. That no decision is too small to be insignificant. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." You know, when we were children, and this is what little children do. Sometimes you're playing and something happens, and the child says, "Oh, well, that didn't count." Or maybe they tell you something and it's something that may not be true. And they say, "Oh, well, I had my fingers crossed behind my back. And so it doesn't count. It doesn't make any difference because my fingers were crossed." Well, God doesn't accept excuses like that. We can't say to God, "Well, that didn't count. You know, just disregard that. I had my fingers crossed." Whatever. God doesn't accept those excuses. But thankfully, God gives us more than one chance. Because even if we do something that we shouldn't do, we have the chance to be forgiven of it. And that is unlimited. God will continue to forgive us of our sins. And then God will forget our sins. But we are responsible for getting forgiveness for the bad decisions that we make, rather than offering up excuses for them. And so that's why our whole attitude, instead of being like the child that says, "Oh, well, that didn't count, give me a do-over," our attitude should be, instead of saying, "God, I didn't mean to disregard that," it should be, "God, I made the wrong decision. Please forgive me of that and help me to do better." You see the difference there? Instead of saying, "Well, just forget it," and it's as if it didn't happen. "No, I'm sorry. I want to do better. Help me to do better. Help me to do better in this or in whatever it is that I'm struggling with. Build me up. Make me stronger." Hell will be the punishment for those who refuse to correct their bad decisions. Hell's going to be where bad decision makers are. Because if we make the right kinds of choices and we bear good fruit on earth, we will be rewarded. And if we don't bear good fruit on earth, then we will have the end of death. But it's our choice. It's what we decide we're going to do. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. Again, what are we going to do with what we have? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We are bearing fruit. Are we bearing fruit for God? Or are we bearing fruit for evil? And also, of course, God's not going to be making any of the mistakes. God's perfect. He's going to judge perfectly. He's going to know everything perfectly. He's going to be able to look at you and I, and He's going to see our lives, and He's going to be able to know how we live and what we've done. He can look into our hearts, He can see our hearts, and He can recognize us. The people who will be in hell will be there because of the choices that they made here on earth, the wrong choices. few of those will be people who decided in the beginning to be wicked. There may be some who, you know, have always said, well, I just want to be a rotten person all my life. Most people aren't like that. Most people don't want to be wicked individuals. But they become that way by the choices that they make. And then they stay that way by the choices that they make or that they don't make when they don't make the choice to come to the Lord and be forgiven for those bad decisions. We're told that we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to be there on the day of judgment. And God's going to judge us. He's going to look at us. He's going to look at what we've done in our lives. And He's going to see whether or not we've done good or whether we've done bad. And of course, all of us have done bad. But have we been forgiven of those bad things? Has God forgotten about those bad things as if they never happened? Or have we continued in them and continued to live in that evil way? Those are the choices that we have to make as Christians. You know, when we think about an all-knowing God, and we think about God being able to look into our hearts and seeing what we think and what we feel and how we are, knowing how we are, we can hide it from one another. We can trick people into thinking that we are something when we are really something else. We can pretend to be a Christian. We can make people think we are Christians. We can be Christians around Christians and then act rotten around people who are of the world. But God sees through all that. God sees our hearts. He knows how we are. We can't hide from Him. We can't trick Him. And everything that we do counts. You know, sometimes it's encouraging to know that everything that we do counts. Because we can never truly say that our lives are hopeless, because we can always do something about it. If you've been doing bad, if you've been making wrong choices, you can stop that. You can turn around from that, and you can start doing right. And so it's a blessing to know that we can change, that we don't have to stay on that path. Now, the Bible talks about the two paths. It talks about the narrow way and the broad way. The narrow way is the way that is a difficult way. The broad way is the way that many people go. The narrow way is the way that leads to life. The broad way is the way that leads to destruction. We can go from one to the other. If you're on the broad way, you can get off of it and get on the narrow way. You can change who you are. Just because you've made bad decisions in the past doesn't mean that you can't stop it and that you can't be forgiven of it and that you can't go a different direction. And likewise, just because you have been going in the right direction and doing right doesn't mean that you can't stop that and start doing wrong. But as we make these decisions, we are determining what we're going to be. In spiritual matters, if we've made wrong choices, we can determine to start serving God and make the right choices. For example, if I haven't been attending services faithfully, I can say, well, that changes now. I'm going to stop the way I've been, and I'm going to start attending faithfully now. Or if we say, well, I haven't been working in the kingdom diligently. Maybe I haven't been showing people like I should the way of the way of truth. Maybe I haven't been talking to people about the Bible. Maybe I haven't been helping those who are in need, who are struggling with either spiritually or struggling physically, and I'm able to help them and I haven't been doing that. Wherever the area is, and you have to determine that, you look into your heart and you determine, where have I fallen short? You don't have to keep falling short. You can determine now, I'm going to stop it and I'm going to start doing like I should now, today. God doesn't have us run out of chances until He comes again. Now, when He comes again, that'll be it. But God has determined to be long-suffering with us. God doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to leave this world being lost. He wants us to have opportunity to turn back to Him and be saved. And we can all decide that we're going to do right if we've been doing wrong. If you've never become a Christian, you can decide, I want to right now start being a Christian. If you are a Christian and you've fallen short, you can decide right now, I'm going to change that. We take steps in the right direction. We make choices that change our present situation for the better. That's what God wants of us. That's all that He asks of us, is to try to do better than we have in the past. That's the growth process that the Bible talks about. Growing, prospering, developing ourselves, getting stronger, getting better. Don't expect us to just be able to be perfect all at once. Don't expect us to never sin once we become Christians. He expects us to keep taking steps forward, to keep working, to keep striving, to keep struggling to try to reach that goal. No, Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, he understood that he wasn't a perfect man. He had more to do. He had more work that he needed to do. He needed to grow more spiritually. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. That's the growth process. You press on, you get better, you strive to develop yourself, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's all we can do. Make right choices, go forward, get better. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to do everything exactly right. Work at it. We have to realize that every step in the right direction makes a difference. And again, it doesn't matter if it's a little step or if it's a big step. If it's going in the right direction, it is right. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark 12 and verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. That's a small step. Just two mites, a very small amount, a very small step. But it was a small step taken in faith. It's taken in great faith. And it turns out that it was, and for her, it was much, because she was very poor and didn't have very much. God's not looking at people who can do everything. God's looking for those who are willing to do what they can. I don't know anybody who can do absolutely everything like they should. There's some people who do some things better than others in the kingdom. And again, you know, there's all these different parts. There's some that are we would consider to be insignificant. There's some that are more significant. But everybody doing something is the point. Making a step in the right direction. And that's what we have to do as Christians today. Find out what you can do and do it to the best that you can, going forward, not going backward, growing and developing yourself, not losing faith. Just like, as we said, those who are in hell will be those who didn't make good decisions. Those who, you know, through their lives, they made the decision to go against God and to do things that are evil. That's who's going to be filling up hell. Likewise, those who are in heaven will be those who make good decisions. And again, we don't do it on our own because we have to depend on God's grace and mercy to forgive us of our sins. We're going to mess up. We're going to do things that are wrong. But as we ask for forgiveness and He forgives us, we're making good decisions. We're making decisions to become a Christian. We're making the decision to be forgiven of past sins. We're making a decision to do things that are fruitful in the kingdom of God. These are all positive decisions. That's what heaven is going to be. Those who made those kinds of decisions. That will be our reward if we're willing to do that. Go back with me again to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 21 through 23. Says, "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But," verse 22, "but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Set free from sin and become slaves of God. You have fruit to holiness and to the end what? Everlasting life. That's all we can ask for. That's what God has promised us. That's what we're working toward every day. And I hope that we all as Christians are doing that. So as we look at the conclusion of this, again, we should know that everything we do counts, and that should humble us. Should make us realize we have to trust in God. We have to depend on God. And we realize that He is the Almighty, He is the Creator, and He can see into my heart, and He knows who I am. But we should be encouraged to know that we can make the choice that affects our eternal destiny. We don't have to be lost. We can be forgiven. We can be saved. And let's always be grateful for the opportunity to make better choices in our life. To say, well, just because I made bad choices doesn't mean I can't make good choices. And I can change that today. And I hope that if you need to change that today, that you will. That you will decide to change your life and make right decisions so that you can be forgiven of your sins. We want you to repent. We want you to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins if you haven't done that. We want you to do what's necessary to become a child of God, to be in the kingdom, to be a part of Him, to be saved by Him, to be added to His church, to be a part of His people, to be able to go to heaven someday. If you haven't become a child of God, make the right decision to do that today. If you're already a child of God, but you know as you've lived your life that you've been doing things that you shouldn't, you haven't repented of them. You've made bad choices, sinful choices that have caused you to get further away from God instead of closer to Him. You can change that. You can repent of your sins today. You can pray and you can ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. You can say, well, I'm just going to say I'm going to disregard that. No, instead of that, ask God to forgive you with a humble heart. Forgive me of my sins. Beg of Him to forgive you. We urge you to do that. Make the decision to do that today if you need to. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to correct your life, we urge you to do that. Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?
Why do you wait?